God called Abraham out of the chaos of the ancient world to make through him a chosen people and to bless all nations. Then God delivered his people from Egypt, but they refused to enter the land as set aside for them and wandered in the desert. God gave them the law to consecrate them as his people, and eventually they entered the promised land, but they forgot his law and worshipped other gods. God called judges and prophets to warn and encourage them. He established David as king, and there was peace and there was prosperity. But they forgot about him again, and the kingdom fell. So God sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He sent Ezra to remind them of his law, and the temple was rebuilt. Yet again, they turned from God and embraced the world around them. But God, longing for their whole hearts, called forth the prophet Malachi to remind them of his faithful love and of the kingdom that was coming. Hopefully, this gives us a little bit of an understanding of where we're at in Israel's history. And certainly this morning as we look into Malachi. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to chapter 1. And we're going to be looking from verses 1 to 5, where it says this. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. Let's commend our time to the Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity where we are able to come together as your church this morning to look into your word, to look at the prophet Malachi. Father, we just pray that we might put aside any distractions so that we can hear what you have to say to us through your very word this morning. And Father, if there's any in here who don't know you as their Lord and Saviour, Father, today they might recognise who your Son, the Lord Jesus, is, and that you first loved us. Father, bless us now as we share together. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Have you ever watched a Netflix series? I imagine for a lot of you, probably in here, the answer to that is yes. One that's so good, you're looking forward to the next episode. Well, this section of Malachi, if you don't look at the whole picture and you take it as those five verses, that would be like watching 16 seconds of your Netflix series and trying then to explain that to somebody else. You've watched 16 seconds, so you know what it's all about. actually that 16 seconds that you've watched could be very, very confusing if you're trying to explain the whole series. And it could actually be pretty dangerous for that series. Context is always crucial. And verses that we quite often see, and often, of course, they can be very encouraging, but it's worth highlighting that context is crucial. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is actually saying, I've been rich and I've been poor, but I can handle this because it's Christ who strengthens me. Jeremiah 29, 11. I remember getting that on my baptism card, in fact. For I know the plans I have for you. Don't step two chapters to the left or two chapters to the right, because you get into some serious stuff with regards to the challenges of Israel's history. You see, for us this morning, and particularly this portion of Scripture, it is critical to understand that yes, we are dealing with 66 books, but it's one story. An image is going to come up just above my head. I'm wondering if you've maybe seen this image before, I don't know. But represented in the lower half of that image, if it's up there, and it is, wonderfully, are those 66 books. The archers refer to the cross references across the Bible to give you some understanding of how important it is to look at the whole as one. It's also quite amazing how small the handouts are on Wednesday evenings, considering all of those cross-references. So to understand the Bible, we have to understand it is a book. It is a story. And when we understand that, it helps us to understand the minor prophets. And it helps us to look at the book of Malachi this morning. That slide at the beginning of today, I don't know if it came up. Did it come up, Alistair? No, it didn't, unfortunately. But what I was reading out to you a little bit earlier was to catch up and familiarise ourselves with where we find ourselves in history at this point in Malachi. Moses has led the people out of Egypt. We know the story of Moses very well, don't we? God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, and they turned from God. David became king, and there was peace and there was prosperity for a time. But again, they then forgot about God, and the kingdom fell. So God sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He sent Ezra. What a book that is. He sent Ezra to remind them of the law, and the temple was rebuilt. And they still turned from God. They embraced the world around them. But God, longing for their whole hearts, called Malachi to remind them of his faithful love and the kingdom that was coming. Malachi partners with Ezra and Nehemiah. These three partners give us the events and unfold the events for us. And it's an understatement, really, to say that it was a difficult moment in history. That's an understatement. At the time, there was famine, there was poverty, and it was a mess. And you could actually read more about the mess if you jumped to chapter 5. But God sent Malachi to proclaim one thing. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. That's a message for us in 2024. Return to the Lord. Malachi is tasked with getting the people back to genuine, heartfelt, real worship. You see, God isn't interested in our leftovers. Do we get that this morning? Return to the worship that is due to Him. Malachi starts in a certain way that for me, and I'm sure for you as well, is really difficult for us to get our minds and our hearts around. Particularly if we just take that 16-second clip of the Netflix show and try to explain it to everyone. What's happening? Here, we have a train wreck of a people. At this moment, they are literally all over the place. They are everywhere. They've forgotten about their God. Everything that is wrong is happening around them. So what is the message to the people? What is it? I have loved you, says the Lord. In Hebrew, that actually translates as continuous, present, and ongoing action. It's a statement of fact. I have loved you continuously, presently, and this is ongoing. And this is a reminder for you and for me this morning. Look at this in 1 John 4:18-19. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me where it says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. And then look at what Paul has to say to us in Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, and I'm going to read from verse 8. And it says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not our behaviour, not our actions, not I go to church now, not I've straightened my act up, just as if we'd never sinned. By an act of God, not of our own actions. Have you ever thought about Exodus? And when Moses brings the people out of Egypt, of course it's God, Moses leads them out of Egypt. Did God say, here's a bunch of laws, keep them and I'll bring you out. No. He destroys the Egyptian gods. Destroys them. Each one with a plague that corresponds to their perceived natures. Destroys them. And then he pulls the people out. Delivers them. And then God says, this is how you need to live. And that's where Malachi starts. I love you. I have always loved you. This group of people here that Malachi's talking about were still asking, unbelievably, how have you loved us? Can you believe that? This morning, perhaps, we can recall a season of our lives where we've had difficult moments. If we're honest, circumstances that have overwhelmed us. We got lost in the situation. Our hearts just broken in that moment. And we've said, how have you loved us? That's a difficult question. God seeks to give us answers. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. This is one of those messages where we ask ourselves, hang on a minute. They just get burned up. Wait, what? Burned to the ground? What? What's happening then? Let's try and answer the question. How have you loved us? And the answer is this. With patience, with mercy, and with grace. Malachi here is pointing back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You will remember very well Isaac's wife, Rebekah, pregnant with twins. And in the womb, the twins actually fought. When they are born, Esau comes first and Jacob's holding on to his heel. Esau, the firstborn, he's the inheritance, the Messiah coming through that line. Esau was a godless man. Driven by his stomach, it says, in a word. Wanted nothing to do with the promise. Jacob was actually not a lot better, if any better. Scoundrels, liars, wicked men, both of them. But then God said, through the line of Jacob, the promise goes. Not because Jacob was awesome, but because God deemed it to be. And that's what's happening here. Malachi is pointing back to the lineage and the Edomites. And when we know that, we can get a better understanding. Anywhere in history that you read about Esau and Esau's line, they were treacherous, they were violent, they were proud, they were greedy. A violent people. And here is God's argument for his love for his people. You're still here. You're guilty of the same thing, and I've not abandoned you. God is highlighting love and justice. And it's a massive message for us that Jesus is holy, he is fierce, he is mighty, and he moves towards his people in covenant love. God sometimes allowed the people to do what they wanted to do. Gave them over to their desires. I don't want you, God. I don't want your ways. I'm going to do my own thing. And God's wrath in that moment is not hurricanes and disease. He goes, okay. Let's read Romans 1, 28 to 32 together. And it says this. Romans chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what they ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. The brokenness of the world. The brokenness of the world, and this is really important, the brokenness of the world does not begin by God allowing things. The brokenness of the world and humankind was because it got caught up in choosing to be their own God. And to turn away and to turn their back on God. Look at verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. If that's not 2024, I'm not really sure what is. And don't miss too that it's actually a rebuke of God's people. You see, we can live in such a way that causes a lot of hurt. We can, in our pain and in our own way, cause sorrow and sadness. But when we surrender to the love of Christ and the gospel, we progress towards God. If we orient away from God, we're heading towards a debased mind, towards darkness, and towards brokenness. But that's not where God starts. I have loved you. Loved who? Well, according to Romans 5, all of us. while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the prophet Malachi is a little bit simpler to understand there in these verses, now that we understand the context. Return to the Lord. Maybe it's your first time this morning. Come to the Lord. Believe by faith and ask by the grace of God to experience the love of God. We are only a prayer of repentance away. We all have shame in areas of our lives that hurt and harm us. And sometimes it's difficult to understand that we are loved. We are loved beyond measure. Surely God can't love me this way. It always starts that way. I love you. I have always loved you. We are far more loved than we can ever fathom. And that's for the rest of our lives. To have the soul reignited is stunning. The God of the Bible is not to be messed with. He is fierce. It says the mountains run from him. God is holy. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And sin is not some plaything. It is rotting out our soul that's meant for dynamic life, true life. Remember Romans 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus knew what he was buying on that cross at Calvary. Not the future version of you. Jesus loves you right now. You have not outsinned his grace. He is moving towards you this morning. God sees all of you because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to just come around your word this morning. To know that you first loved us. Father, we just pray that we might respond to what you have to say to us through your word. Lord, that we would know and recognize that in amongst all of our problems, our situations, that you first loved us and that you are with us. Father, bless us as we continue to worship together now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.